Looking forward to our meeting with Chris Emerson in a few weeks, and I hope that you will take the flyers that are in the back and pass those out to your friends and neighbors, post them up, share them. It's going to be a great series. He has been here before. You know the kind of caliber that he's going to be presenting in these lessons, and there's a lot of work to be done between now and then and to get ready for the meeting, so I hope that you will take those flyers and let's let people know about this good gospel meeting that we're going to be having in a very short time, actually. What makes you happy in life? What other times in life that you experience a great sense of joy? Great sense of feeling of peace and comfort? Sitting on a blanket on the beach watching the sun fall below the horizon in brilliant colors? Walking in a cool stream of clear water surrounded by majestic mountains and the birds are singing and through the trees? Maybe it's sitting in a chair snuggled up with a good book and the end of a day with a steaming cup of your favorite coffee, if you drink that stuff. Riding through pastures of tall green grass on a majestic horse, feeling the wind blow through your hair. I've had fun putting these together. This is my bucket list. Embracing your child as they fall asleep in your arms, sailing the blue waters of the Gulf. Whatever it is, there's a feeling of deep comfort in the enjoyment of what you are experiencing. Do you feel happy in your marriage, enjoying the years with someone you've given your heart to and promised to love and cherish all of your life? Are you happy as parents, blessed with children who bring you joy and happiness? Are you feeling happy having a good job allowing you to enjoy comforts of home and hearth? Or as a person who can look at life with a smile and feel a warmth of who you are? The reality is so much different sometimes than this. The reality is that many of these joys are lacking, and sometimes they are hard to attain. Sometimes they're just not a part of the formula of life. But there is one joy that will help through the difficult aspects of life that will bring happiness to marriage and parenting and life in general. There is a joy that is found in the relationship that we have with God. The reality of life is so different than what we think it to be. I don't know, as a child we grow up with certain ideas that, well, this is the way life is going to be, and so often, if not always, it seldom turns out exactly like we think it's going to be. Sometimes for good, sometimes for bad. But still, the reality of life is that it is so unchanging in its changeable nature. That there are things that we wanted to accomplish in life that we were not. There were expectations that we had in life that are not realized. There's happiness that we had thought would bring about a greater sense of joy that just did not find itself. We're reminded of what the patriarch Job said, that man that is born of a woman is of few days and it's full of trouble. We think life is like that so often that, you know, it doesn't matter how we look at it. As we go back in life in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever it is, that, you know, it's been full of trouble. There's been a lot of challenges. For many, life has little joy or happiness to it. Troubles overwhelm. Disappointment comes. Despair lingers, and hope just seems lost. There isn't anything to be joyful about in life. It's just what it is. Marriages are rocky, families are torn, and jobs are hated, and, you know, life in general is just sour lemons. I mean, who has time for joy? Who has time to find contentment in life? Well, there was a man by the name of Paul who was in a Roman prison that wrote a book that we call the Book of Philippians. And imagine how joyous it was to be in a Roman prison. That had to be a very difficult thing. I mean, a very terrible place to be. It's one thing to be in prison or be in jail today, which is not a very joyous thing at all. But when you consider what it was like to be in prison in those days, in the days of the Romans, when they didn't have any care for the individual, simply put him in a chain and put him in there and feed him once in a while, throw some water at him. I mean, a very difficult place to be. And yet he writes the book of Philippians, and one of the main themes of the book of Philippians is rejoicing or joy. How do you find yourself in a Roman jail, in a Roman prison, bound in shackles and chains? You've been there for a couple of years probably, and you're going to write to these folks, and you're going to be talking about, okay, joy now, be rejoicing. Let's find something in life that's going to be filled with happiness here. It's really difficult to imagine how you would be in that kind of an environment and think that you're going to write about those things. Talk about positive. But here the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, it is a book about joy. It's a book about rejoicing, and the fact that his message here really, as he comes even to the end of it, is the fact that I want you to know something, Philippians. I want you to know that what life is all about is I want you to choose joy. I want you to find joy. And as Jake read so ably just a moment ago in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 4, the exhortation that he gives here is he wants them to remember at least this part. He's beginning to close this letter out. He wants to emphasize some things. And so he tells them, I want you to rejoice. I want you to be people that are filled with joy. And I want your character to be such as the people will see you as a person that is filled with joy, because the Lord's coming pretty soon. And the way that you find that joy is that you got to think about who you are, what you are, and your relationship with the Lord. You don't need to be anxious about things in life. Which tells us a little bit about where non-joy, I'm not sure that's a word, where non-joy comes from. Because what we think is what we are. And then simply he wants them to listen to this point. Just do it. Find joy. There is a way that we can bring about that happiness in our life. And so this morning we want to talk about Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, and talk about the formula that Paul gives about how we can choose joy and how joy is going to bring something more to our life than maybe what we've ever found before. He says in verse 4 that I want you to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, there's an emphasis that's there. He doesn't just simply say, I want you to rejoice. He says, listen to you. And he's in prison. And he's writing to them and he's saying, I want you to rejoice. And I want to say that again. I want you to rejoice. I want you to think about this. Now, rejoice is present tense. He is saying, I want you to be rejoicing. I want you to be filled with rejoicing. We have joy because we have a relationship with God. Paul is in this terrible place. He is in a Roman prison. He writes a number of letters from his Roman prison. And he has an attitude that, you know, it could be worse. It could be better, but it could be worse. But the reality of it is, he was not bound by those shackles. He was not bound in this Roman prison, because the thing that gave him joy was the fact that he belonged to Jesus Christ. No matter whether he was on a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean on a starlit night, no matter whether he was trekking through the mountains of Asia Minor, no matter whether he was witnessing the baptism of Lydia and her household, no matter whether he was preaching to the Romans or whoever it was, the thing that Paul realized is that for joy to be a part of his life, he just had to be a person of joy. He had to be a person who understood that no matter where he was, he belonged to God. And that's the beginning of the relationship. And the way that we find joy is that we have to start where the relationship begins. And it's important that he begins here, because the only joy that we can truly have is when we realize that we belong to God, because only in the Lord is constant joy going to be possible. And when we read about his account when he was earlier in the Philippian jail, to get a picture of what he was doing there, and as he probably thought about this, in Acts the 16th chapter, in verse 23, it says that they laid many stripes on him. See, he didn't get thrown in jail. They beat him for a while. They put him into prison. They commanded the jailer to keep him securely. So, okay, he was locked up pretty tight. Probably had chains on his feet, had chains on his hand, a chain around his neck. You know, and there he is. He's not going anywhere. Very uncomfortable. He can't move a whole lot, can't do a whole lot. And it's metal. They don't have padding on there. They're not made of stainless steel. You know, it's just a very disgusting place to be. And so they have secured him very securely in this place, with his feet in the stocks. At about midnight, he and Silas are praying. Really? You're praying? What do you got to be praying about? You're locked up in a jail. You're locked up in a prison. You can't even go anywhere. And they're spending time talking to God. You see, the beginning of a relationship of joy is founded upon the reality that God is who I belong to. You cannot bind me by these chains. I have a relationship with God. Remember the that we give, that an understanding of who we are, that we are eternal creatures that inhabit a physical body. When we begin to understand that, we realize that even though they may shackle the physical body, they cannot shackle the spiritual body. But Paul is there and he's praying. But it's not just that he's praying, he is singing. He probably had a lousy voice. Because he said he was a lousy preacher. By his own definition, he was a lousy preacher. But, you know, he had a beautiful voice, I'm sure. I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't mean that. But they're singing hymns to God. I like to sing hymns to God. I enjoyed this morning. We sang a lot about joy. Appreciate Scott doing that. I like to listen to you know, that kind of music. And it makes me feel good. And when I enjoy listening to that, as I turn it on and we'll do all of this and we enjoy getting together singing, I have to admit, I still try to wrestle with this idea that, okay, I have been thrown into jail. I am there in stocks and all of this and I'm really not in a very comfortable position. Hey, let's sing a while. You know, I got to admit, that's a little tough. But it's because he had an understanding and relationship with God about who he was and what he was. The joy in the time of trouble comes from a state of mind. He could sing because he understood who he could trust. Vance Havner said that God has never promised us happiness. He wants us to be holy. Holy is the deeper sense of happiness. And the fact that no matter where we are and what we are, no matter what circumstance we are, we have a mindset that we can rejoice in the Lord always, and we can rejoice because that is what God wants us to do. We have to have a mindset, we have to have an attitude that when things come up in life, we've got to bring the rejoicing in. We've got to bring the joy in, and that's not an easy thing to do. I'm not suggesting, and I don't think Paul did either, or Luke, as he wrote this account, would say that, well, just Paul said, okay, beat me some more, put me in the stocks, and put me in jail, and I just want to sing some. I don't think it was like that. It was very unpleasant to have your back beaten. It was very unpleasant to be thrown into the inner prison and to be locked up securely. Very unpleasant. But what Paul did is that he turned around his unpleasantness, at least in the mindset of saying, but I still belong to God. No matter what you do to me, I still belong to God. And in my day-to-day life and my day-to-day activity, it's easy to sing to the Lord when things are good. It's easy to do that this morning because we're gathered together with one another and we're singing and we're breaking our melody one to another. But it's when days go really bad. I've got bad news for you. Tomorrow is Monday. I love Mondays. Mondays are one of the best days of the week. Because it's a lot of fun to watch people be miserable on Monday and thinking, hey, I like Monday because this drives other people crazy. What is wrong with you? I love Mondays. They're great. It's just the second day of the week. Whoopee-doo. It ends in Y. It's a good day. The reality of it is that when things go bad at work, rejoice in the Lord. When you're having tough times in your marriage, keep the Lord in the focus and rejoice in the Lord. When things are going bad in our health and the things that affect our bodies, we've got to remember to always rejoice in the Lord. And no matter what happens to the country, no matter the economics, no matter the political, no matter what happens in the war, the world itself, we've got to have a mindset to begin to find the true meaning of fulfillment in life. We've got to have a mindset of rejoicing in the Lord. It is the reality that we can trust in Him and everything's going to be okay. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But he goes on to say that one of the ways that we exemplify that is that he says that let your gentleness be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Let your forbearance be known unto all men, or your reasonableness, as the English Standard Version says. The ISV says gracious attitude. The King James, you know that one. Let your moderation be known to all men. In other words, okay, first of all, if you want to have joy, if you want to find joy in life, you want to find contentment and happiness, remember who you are, what you are. But here's the thing, let other people do that. Let other people see that, in other words. Let other people know that you're filled with joy, because the first admonition about rejoicing in the Lord always is the fact that, okay, here I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I am. I am a person that is a person of joy. That doesn't mean that I go around with a Cheshire smile on my face all the time and grinning like a Cheshire cat. Joy means that I want people to see me living for God in their lives. You know, when you forgive somebody, when you forgive others, you're showing them joy. Let your gentleness, let your forbearance, let your character be seen in them is the fact that when we're forgiving one another, that's expressing our joy. Or when we are being kind to one another, oh, we know we have lost that in society. Have we just decided not to be kind to one another? The world may be mean with one another. We need to be kind people. I mean, it can be something as simple as opening the door, saying thank you. But it's just being kind people, or being people filled with kindness. We're not filled with angry words. We're not filled with, well, we got a temper we got going on. It's really about the other person. If we back up in our text in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 3, here's the attitude. And so much of what he expresses in our text this morning in verses 4 through 9 has already been covered previously in this message. But in Philippians 2 and in verse 3, he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not out only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." That's being kind to one another. That's being gentle with one another. That's being forbearing with one another. Because that is the character of Jesus Christ. If you go on in verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's what he did. That I'm letting my gentleness be made known unto men is that when they see me and when they evidence my life, they say, there goes a man who has a happy disposition about him because he is filled with a joy that we just don't understand where he gets that from. But it's because that we are in the Lord. And it comes from our attitude because our outlook is based upon the will of God. Everybody needs to know that we are people of God by the character of our hearts and by the actions. A couple of passages that are in companion. The books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are sisters to one another. And they have almost the same message in some ways. In Ephesians 4, we're not going to look at all of this, but just think about what he says here in Ephesians 4 and verse 24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You know what he says? He says in verse 25, you need to stop lying. Well, now there's a way to show our gentleness to other people. The way that we show our joy is that we don't lie. He says in verse 29, boy, this is a big one. If you want to show your gentleness to all men, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Watch what you say or what you don't say. Our speech gives us away. People are going to know whether we're Christians or not by the way that we talk, the way that we say things. Verse 31, here's a good one, Ephesians 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put it away. Verse 32, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. That's the joy. If you want to find joy in life, this is what we've got to do. Because all of these other things, as a matter of fact, if you're filled with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, you are not very happy. You are not very joyous. You are unjoyous. I figured if I made one word up, I might as well make a lot of them up. You are filled with unjoyness. You're not going to be happy because you're not living for God. We've got to live for the Lord and all these things. In Colossians chapter 3, the same thing, a lot longer passage. But he says that if in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 that we are the elect of God, folks. We are holy, we are beloved, we are needed to put on tender mercies, we need to be kind, we need to be humble, we need to be meek, we need to be long-suffering, we need to bear with one another, and we need to forgive one another. But above all those things, we need to put on love. And verse 15, if you want to find joy in life, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That'll take care of that. You let the peace of God rule in your hearts, you'll be a joyous person. Because you'll be a gentle person. Let your gentleness be made known unto men. Why? Did you see the latter part of our text? Go back to Philippians 4. Let your gentleness be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, he put that for a reason there. We need to be gentle because, let me tell you, the Lord's at hand, and that was written 2,000 years ago. They thought that, okay, the Lord was coming at that time. We need to be filled with joy for two reasons. Number one, if we don't, we're not going to be joyous when the Lord comes because He is coming. But the other thing about it is, let your joy be made known unto men because the Lord is at hand. He's going to come back. We live to trust in Him. We live to serve Him. We live to love Him. So let's be joyous in that. And so the first thing that we do about joy is we find it in ourselves. We rejoice in the Lord. And secondly, we let everybody else see it. But then how do we do that to ourselves? And how do we live a life that is filled without all of the anxieties of the world? Let's read again that passage in verse 8 of our text. Verse 6, I'm sorry. Got the right verse. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, is going to guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Joy can never be achieved when we consume our lives with worry about things that do not matter. Do you know why a lot of people are unhappy in this world? Well, first of all, they don't have God. But that gives away the end of the sermon. The reason that a lot of times that we don't find joy is because we're so consumed with this over here, we haven't got time to find joy. We're anxious about everything. I mean, we're anxious about everything. We're concerned and worried about everything. The text says, and I read it again, be anxious for nothing. Why? Well, I've already started in rejoicing the Lord always. I trust in Him. How did Paul in a prison sing and pray? Because he wasn't anxious about the fact that he was in a Roman prison, in jail, locked down, because he was not anxious for that. And what he was doing was he was praying about it and giving a supplication with thanksgiving, and he was talking to God. And the reason he was singing was because the peace of God just overwhelmed him. That's not fluff. That's not... stuff that, it's real. It's the real thing. It's hard. I get that. We struggle with it. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said, do not worry about your life. We could stand and sing. Nothing else to say about that. Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry about your life. Why? How big do you think God is? He is ginormous. There's no way to contain Him. When we get filled with worry, we need to go down to the Withlacoochee State Forest and park somewhere and watch the birds, in case you don't have any at home. We need to go look at the world and realize that it's going on just like it has for the beginning of time, and the fact that God is taking care of all of those things. I enjoy where I live now. And the word's already out because I was dumb enough to put it on Facebook. But there are deer all over my place. There were 6 bucks in my backyard. A couple of them were 8 points and a couple of them were 6. They have not got a worry in the world. They're out there eating grass. That'll change come November, but... But you know, you look at nature and they're not worried a bit because God takes care of them. It's us. Do you realize that human beings are the ones with worried lines up here? Jesus said, do not worry about your life. The reason that we don't have joy in life is because we are anxious about everything. And Paul said, be anxious for nothing. We need to be praying. We need to be giving God thanks. We need to let Him know what our request is. And so the peace of God is going to protect us. An integral part of prayer is that when we depend on man, we get what man can do. But I'm going to tell you, when we depend upon God, He will give us everything we need. Prayer does not solve a few things. It solves everything. Let your request be made known to God, who will know what to do for us in our life. We need to not be anxious about things. The way that we find joy is to know that He's in charge. One of my favorite stories is back in the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 6. This is just such a neat, this is one of the neat stories that come out of the Old Testament scripture, because here's the whole city and Samaria, they're surrounded by this terrible army, and they're going to come and get slaughtered and wiped out, and the king of Syria has just been, you know, just wrecking havoc everywhere. So he comes and surrounds, and in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And so he answered and said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And boy, did he open his eyes. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I know that there's not mountains in Florida, but there are mountains in Florida. And if we would just simply trust in God, we look around those mountains all around us, and there is the army of God, and the commander of God's army is leading forth his... What have I got to worry about? Man, I got the army of God surrounding me. Bring it on. And I know that's easy to say. And I know that when times are dark and difficult, it's tough to do that. But the reason I have joy in my life is my God is bigger than anything in this world. Period. He can handle it. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in November about the election. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in the world the next 10 years. I'm not worried about those kind of things because, my friends, God is still in charge and the Lord is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the realities of life, the ebb and flow that comes in there, it's all about the blessings of God. Be anxious for nothing simply means to be putting it all into the hands of God, and wow, how big His hands are. Paul just says, joy comes from knowing the peace of God. And here's the other thing that gets us in trouble. I really do think this is part of our big problem, and I'm going to get on my soapbox, so you might as well get your vacuum cleaner out, because you're going to have to vacuum it up. But here it is. Verse 8, back in our text, Philippians 4, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, is there anything virtue and is there anything praiseworthy, turn off your televisions. Quit looking at the internet." Do you know why we're filled with so much unjoy? It's because we're watching and hearing the wrong things. We are what we think. "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And when we think about things that are untruth, dishonest, unrighteous, unpure, non-lovely, bad reports, anything that's less than virtue and not even praiseworthy, which pretty well sums up our media world today, no wonder we're depressed. No wonder we don't have any joy in our life. We read the wrong material. We listen to the wrong material. We follow the wrong advice. We do everything that God tells us not to. The old adage, you remember, about television, garbage in, garbage out. The reason we worry, the reason that we're anxious, is so many times because of what we put before us. Joy is lost when we think on the wrong things. These are not suggestions for people to think about doing. These are commands. This is the solution here. "Finally, brethren," this is what we need to think about. We need to think about things that are true, things that are noble, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. And he says on that word, meditate on these things. You know what meditate means? It's chewing the cud. You ever watched a cow? He chews the cud. We need to meditate and meditate and meditate. We need to put that in our lives. And the reason that there is no joy is because we're thinking about the wrong things. The apostle implies that we have the power of governing our thoughts, and we're responsible for them. If the thoughts are ordered well, the outward life will flow. We just need to think about right things. We need to get rid of those things that hinder our true thinking and use verse 8 as a model about the fact that that's what we need to do. We need to think about these things and go down the list. If it's not true, no, ain't going to be a part of my life. If it's not noble, don't even bring it. If it's not just and if it's not pure, don't even bring it into my life. It's amazing what change that'll be. You'll be a lot happier person. You'll be filled with a lot more joy. And the last thing we do is that Paul originated the Nike thing. Actually, they used to make tennis shoes on top of the Acropolis. If you've ever been to Athens, you've gone to the Acropolis. They have the Nike temple up there. That's what they used to... Never mind. The Lord originated the thought about do it. Verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, that's important to note. Learn it, receive it, hear it, and see it. We need to learn it. We need to receive it. We need to hear it. We need to see it. But here's the conclusion. Do it. What he says in this text is, the things which you've learned and saw in these, do. When you wear your little Nike shirt, think about that spiritually. Do it. That's where joy comes from. Because we're not willing to find happiness in Christ. We keep trying to find happiness somewhere else. But happiness is not going to be found anywhere but in Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus did. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verse 1, when the Hebrew writer uses him as the illustration of the example of following after joy, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he sat down. What did he do? He did it. He found fulfillment in doing the will of his Father. And joy in Christ is found in bearing a cross. We've got to follow the admonition of Paul in this passage. Here's the do it part. If you want to be happy, rejoice always in the Lord. Just do it. If you want to be happy, be gentle to all men. Just do it. If you want to be happy, be anxious for nothing and pray. Just do it. If you want to be happy and filled with joy, meditate on good things. Just do it. And when we do what God says to find joy, we will find the joy and the peace that God gives us that passes all understanding. It is real, it is true, and it is lasting. That's where joy comes from. Because we're doing it. Just do it. Well, let's go back to our first question. What makes you happy? Where's your joy? Psalm 144, verse 15, tells us what the answer is. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Why are you not happy? Because God is not your Lord. Now here's the thing, you may think you're happy, you're not. If God is not your Lord, you are not happy. You are in the audience this morning, you're not a Christian, you're not going to find happiness without God. There's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to call it happiness. But one day you're going to wake up and realize that the happiness that you have is empty. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The only place to find joy in life is in Jesus Christ. And if God is not your Lord, you can come this morning and receive the salvation of your sins and joy that is inexpressible, beyond understanding, in Him. Consider these things. Let's stand as we sing.